Welcome to the Chinwag Live podcast. Chinwag is an online community for digital marketing professionals, and Chinwag Live is our regular event series established to cast light on trends across the digital media industries. You can find out more information about Chinwag Live on our website, live.chinwag.com. This podcast was recorded at the inaugural Chinwag Live event, Wobble 2.0, on Tuesday the 6th of February 2007 in London. The event was sponsored by Exchange Team, a growing force in digital recruitment. More details about them can be found on their website at www.exchangeteam.com. That's www.xchangeteam.com. The podcast features Mike Butcher of Vicosis, who also chaired the session.
Hello everyone, my name is Mike Butcher. I'm a journalist and blogger. I work on a blog at the moment called Vicosis.com, possibly the worst named website imaginable. Sounds like a venereal disease or something, doesn't it? Vicosis.com. Is that with a Y or an I? I don't know. Anyway, we are, of course, Web 2.0 poster children, and I'll be I'll be autographing things later at the back for you. Having worked on TechCrunch, my God, that was fun last year, and now we're doing something else. So Vicosis and various other things that I can dream up in my daydreams. I've done a really stupid thing and decided to write something because I'm unaccustomed to public speaking, in fact. So, but I thought that just before I introduce our panel, our esteemed panel, I might just put a little sort of context on all of this and a bit of history. That's what journalists do. We are the first draft of history, and don't you fucking forget it. So one day in the spring of 2000, I was walking along a street in Soho. I happened to be editing a business magazine called New Media Age at the time, and things were going pretty damn well. Yes, I am reminiscing. I'm sorry. Walking along Berwick Street, I was accosted by a recruitment consultant who played in the internet world. I asked him how things were going, and he told me he had 15 clients who were all looking for 25 staff, and he had about a week to recruit them all. That pretty much summed things up at the time. I knew where he was coming from. New Media Rage was going well. We had our own staffing issues. We seemed to have to recruit a new junior reporter every other week, as most were being hired by PR firms, internet startups, consultancies, you name it, as fast as we could hire them. In the eyes of most of the startups of the year 2000, 3 months as a digital media journalist was enough to furnish you with a CV most MBAs would have killed for at the time. In other words, dumb hacks like me were considered good hiring fodder. Clearly, something was wrong. Terrible pause. In fact, the pace of change in the industry was so fast, I'm not reading all of it, by the way, was so fast that sane people were doing very strange things. Not only was the concept of internet time coined, where you had to start up, raise funding, launch the site, and IPO in the space of a fortnight, but, and this illustrates it well, I actually found myself at one point seriously debating with someone about whether or not we should run our watches a bit faster. And no, I wasn't doing coke at the time. There were some great stories at the time, that we've all been there, and there's some wonderful ones about things like the junior IT manager from Boo.com taking a trip on Concord to tweak a server in New York, the inflatable boardroom at Click Mango. I gather it went for quite a large sum on eBay many years later. And in fact, Click Mango, I remember once ringing up the CEO and asking why he'd registered his direct competitor's domain name, and him asking me, how on earth do you know that? I said, well, there's this thing called, you can look up domain names and who've registered. Anyway, it was great fun. We later learned, the biggest bubble in history, despite the fact that serious tomes were being written about what were supposed to be called the long boom. Oh, dear. I will never make radio. The archers will never call me. So clearly it was a bubble. Web agencies would brag about how much they were charging for just flat HTML. FreeServe, started by an enterprising Dixon's manager in Birmingham, was valued during its flotation as being worth £1 billion on the basis that its million dial-up subscribers were each worth £1,000. Fantastic. But But in the fact, this was not the only bubble that had fallen us in the internet industry. Having joined New Media Age as a staffer in 1996, I'd been through a few by the time 2000 came around. In fact, I remember thinking after I joined that I'd actually missed the bubble. In 1994, having read fabulous articles about things like Gopher and Veronica. Surely it was all over, I thought. But it wasn't. Tracking through the late 90s were the web design bubble of people even opening shop fronts on major high streets, hoping that somebody would be dropping in for a website on their way home from Woolies. Can you imagine? There was the ISP boom, pay-as-you-go dial-up. There was FreeServe, of course. Even the BBC launched a free dial-up ISP. In fact, the number of CDs we had in the office at the time had reached a stage where we were really having to start to think of creative ways of getting rid of them, you know, frisbee off the roof of the office, you name it. But following the ISP boom, what was essentially a digital media boom, we all know about this. Suddenly, there was no such thing as a directory. Yahoo was a portal. In fact, simply everyone wanted to be a portal. Although what a portal was, nobody seemed to quite know. And there was also the print media boom. Now, I have some examples here. For those of you listening on the podcast, I am now holding a large number of magazines. Here is a copy of the Industry Standard Europe. Dead. The Industry Standard Grok, son of Industry Standard. In fact, they had so much advertising, they had to stuff it into another magazine. Digital New York, ladies and gentlemen. Perfect bound for the print aficionados amongst you. Digital Coast Reporter from Silicon Valley. Brill's Content, perfect bound. God, just the list just went on. New Media Age with job ads, ladies and gentlemen. 31 pages of jobs, incredible. And then suddenly it was all over. We all woke up with a dose of reality. By late 2000, even some of us, myself included, thought it was just a market correction, please God. But at this stage, I'd joined a quintessentially dot-com magazine, The Standard, as I previously mentioned, and I hoped to really create some amazing journalism in the space, really kind of put a magnifying glass on things. But we ran out of time and advertisers. When one of our final editions ran the cover line, "Sack me, please," we knew we were painting ourselves into a corner. So what was different then compared to now? Well, I could give you a few stuff about valuations. For instance, there were a large number of exits, as you know, the last time round in the dot-com boom. Lots of them were at very immature companies. In fact, Library House reckons that £24 million went into C-Series A investments across Europe in 2005. In 2006, the UK alone was £84 million, which is a big increase. And that's not including some of the bigger deals that went out. But there were no IPOs, no sort of public offerings on the market, and not really many as yet, certainly not at the moment. This time there's just the lack of an obvious wacky IPO market, and the NASDAQ, what's that? The NASDAQ currently is trying to buy something else which is more profitable called the London Stock Exchange. So this suggests it isn't quite a bubble. Well, what's really different? And don't worry, I'm coming to a close now. Well, I would characterize it thus. When I first got online in the mid-90s, I found a website and an email newsletter called NTK, or Need to Know. This was, and to an extent still is, a satirical take on the internet scene, run in the main by Danny O'Brien, now of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Dave Green, who's a journalist and digital media guy at Channel 4. In late 97, stupidly or not, as a raw recruit, I emailed them to ask, how do you support it? Why do you do it? I am very curious. They didn't reply, but in the next issue of NTK, under the headline Big Questions, they replied. We had this email from Mike Butcher. Here's the answer. We do it for the hell of it. We've got about 700 subscribers so far, and that's not too bad considering we haven't done much promotion yet and are currently on holiday. We haven't yet figured out any good ways of making money out of it, but at the moment that doesn't really matter. I reckon that because we don't have any charges or advertising or lame registration systems, we can take on pretty much anyone. Like Kevin Spacey says in The Usual Suspects, they realise that to be in power, you didn't need guns or money, or even numbers. You just needed the will to do what the other guy wouldn't. I have to admit, at the time, I thought, what a bunch of loonies. And I forgot about them. But I was reminded of them again last year when I attended an event in Kensington Town Hall, which 800 geeks had filled. And that there was, this was what the internet economy was always about. Individuals, creative teams, getting together, creating interesting things online. So my final comment from New Media Age before I jumped into the dot-com abyss, joined the industry standard, was about the theme of the reoccurrence of things. I tried to get across how after 5 years of writing about the internet business, even at that point, I knew there were so many exciting things to come and many of the things that I would like to write about and continue to cover whatever I was doing. But at the same time, a lot of things remain the same. The headline of the column was Groundhog Day. Thank you.
This podcast was recorded in front of a live audience. To find out about future Chinwag Live events, why not subscribe to our free newsletter at live.chinwag.com. Chinwag Live Wobble 2.0 featured Dave Nicholson, Ryan Carson, Matteo Bellucci, Andrew Orlovsky and Mike Butcher. Audience microphones were wrangled by Kim Ng and Patrick Kamara-Ropita. Door enforcement was provided by Thayer Driver Security of Dartford. Sponsorship was handled by Hugh Evans and Thayer Driver. The commissioning editor was Sam Michel. Chinwag Live was produced by Deirdre Malloy.